For a very long time, the unique needs of homeless youth have been near the bottom of the list. Often marginalized and viewed by society as less worthy of help, teens have been left to fend for themselves in malls, beaches, and wherever they think they can momentarily be safe. Often that does not mean a shelter where they can spend the night. There aren't any youth-only overnight shelters. Youth are vulnerable and frequently incompatible with homeless adults, so teens usually prefer to just be with other teens someplace else. I met up with Carla Hauser, the program manager for the Youth Outreach Program. It's a collaboration of Waikiki Health and Halekipa. We talked about the status of homeless youth and whether there's more movement now to focus on them in the same way chronic homeless people and veterans have been targeted for help.
I think we're getting there. There has been a coordinated effort by the youth service providers to come to the table and actually come up with how are we going to provide one of the most basic essential needs for these kids, which is housing. And, you know, with that housing, there has to be support. These kids are they're developmentally different than adults. So you can't just throw them into an apartment and say, good luck, we've rapidly rehoused you. Now do all the things like pay your rent and work with your landlord, things like that. That just doesn't happen with this particular age group.
You're talking about life skills that they've never been trained to know how to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And then also to be able to start addressing some of their substance abuse issues, some of the mental illness that's starting to set in, starting to address the trauma that they've experienced. As far as I'm concerned, there really isn't a safe level of homelessness for children or young adults and adolescents. And so that really is the direction that we need to go to address the things that they've experienced.
We're often told that homeless youth are actually a compilation of various different ages. Their chronological age, mm-hmm. their experiential age, and the age of their trauma, mm-hmm. too. So that's given them experiences that nobody should have had, and then their very real experiences of being just a kid, as well as how old they really are. All of that wrapped up into one person. Mm-hmm. You're also talking about people who are minors. When you look at that whole picture of someone, are we expecting too much of them in the various systems that we have now? And you just talked about, you know, just throwing them into an apartment and saying, well, here you go, you've been now housed.
Right. And where they are developmentally, when you think about your typical teenager who, in comparison to their housed peers, it's their job at this age to not trust adults. It's their job to make mistakes, figure things out, not really like authority. That's where they are developmentally. And so when you're taking a kid who it's safer for them to be in the streets than it is in the home. So they form their own little hooies and their own communities. And sometimes that has a good experience and sometimes not so much. And so you have to kind of work with them, allow them to make mistakes. It's something that we do at Yo. It's this whole idea of unconditional positive regard. So if a kid comes in and, you know, we know that they, you know, stole somebody's wallet, you welcome them back the next day. Hey, it's really good to see you. Now let's sit down and kind of have a conversation about what happened yesterday. We don't want to push them away. So if you mess up in a positive youth development model, if you mess up, the last thing we want to do is punish them. We don't want to send them further away from us, which so often happens in your school system. A kid messes up, they get in a fight. What's the first thing we do? We expel kids. We push them away from these support systems that are supposed to teach them and what's right and what's wrong. What we try to do is bring them even closer. So you mess up, now you get to sit down with us, we get to have a conversation, we get to talk about, like, how do we de-escalate, how do we work through some of these issues. So, you know, just a different approach to working with kids.
I hear you say that there has to be a program that becomes bridges to a developmental age, to an experiential age, mm-hmm. and their trauma age.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So that there's a sense that they're looked at very differently by those who deal with youth, mm-hmm. but not looked at differently by those who are in some ways creating the stream of funding or the stream of expectations for how we deal with homeless youth.
Mm-hmm. If the ultimate outcome is that this youth is going to have to be successful in an apartment by themselves with a little bit of case management here or there, our outcomes are not going to be great. It's what other support services are we able to link? Just the fact that we can get a youth who's been traumatized by other adults, just the fact that we can get them to come in and engage with us, just to acknowledge an adult that trusts, you know, and build that relationship. Now we're on to something. And that's why I think part of it is it has been really hard to actually show where we are with youth homelessness. They're also not the guys pushing shopping carts down the street. You go to the malls, you go to any of the beaches in Waikiki, you're running into homeless youth. We see over 500 kids a year walk through our door. So they're out there and they're hard to count, they're hard to see. And so if you imagine if you're an outreach worker and you're trying to go out into the community and find kids, you just don't walk up to a kid and say, hey, by the way, are you homeless? Would you like a sandwich? There's so much more that has to go into that. When we look for funding, when we, you know, we ask the state for outreach dollars, there's a process to it. And I don't think a lot of people are really patient with the process with youth.
Is the state patient with the process? And does the state understand this in the way that you would like them to?
I think we're getting there. We are absolutely getting there. The fact that when we sit down at a table and with all of the youth providers and we have a representative from the governor's office, that to me shows that they're present, they're listening, and they understand. Scott Morishige, he can be very polarizing one way or another, but Scott knows the names of every single one of our homeless kids in certain encampments. He's a social worker at heart, and he's in a really tough position. He is constantly coming to us and saying, hey, what do you know about this kid? What can we do, you know, with this family? So I think the state is very aware of what we're dealing with. And it's because he is out there when he goes out into the encampments. He's learning their names. And that, to me, is a real kind of human approach.
So, Carla, how would you like to point people to understanding this better and being able to be helpful in this way as we're seeing more people becoming really agitated about the homelessness issue, is how people characterize it. Mm-hmm. We're talking about people, and in this case, we're talking about kids.
Mm-hmm. I've actually fielded phone calls when people, oh, we want to help, you know, children, youth outreach. So they call and they want to donate. And when I explain a little bit about the program that, you know, we work with teens and young adults and, oh, those kids, they just need to get a job and they won't be homeless anymore. And if only it were that simple. A lot of our kids hold down jobs and they experience things that a normal 40-year-old would curl up in a little ball, and yet they get up every single day, and they keep going, and they keep going. And there's this level of resiliency. The thing that very much, I think, separates our young people from some of our older adults is these young kids still have hope, despite everything else that they've experienced, you know, and all of the adults that have kind of done really terrible things to them. They still have hope that their life is going to be different. And I think that's the main piece that people have to understand, is that these kids are resilient and they're hopeful and they're really awesome, awesome young people.
But they do need help.
Yes, absolutely.
They're not going to be able to simply live on the hope. But one of the blessings of youth is the fact that they have that still intact.
Yes.
So bottom line, what do you think needs to happen for homeless youth in the next 6 months or year? What do you think is the very next step that's absolutely a must?
One area that we're working on is kind of as a collective group coming up with, you know, our inventory. What do we have currently out there that's housing that's specific for our young people? Whether it's transitional living, is it an emergency shelter? You know, our youth are not doing well when we place them at the adult shelters. They're just not. They don't want to be around adults in that kind of situation.
Any other situation, many people would be telling them that's not appropriate for
right.
them to be around
exactly.
that group of people who are adults in that way.
Mm-hmm. And so currently we're starting to bring some of the big time, we're starting to bring the silos together. So that's working with child welfare, that's working with the DOE, and bringing everybody to the table to say, how do we address this? Not just from the drop-in center or a little bit of street outreach, but there are so many institutions that can come together and work collectively. That's the direction that we're going. I'm hopeful because we have a lot of great kids who deserve an opportunity.
Carla Hauser is the program manager for the Youth Outreach Program. It's a collaboration of Waikiki Health and Halekipa. YO, as it's known, provides medical care and social service support at a drop-in center located in Waikiki. The YO program also conducts street outreach and meets youth just where they are.